So, Shankara, after explaining the four qualities of the mind, Shama, Dhamma, Upariti, Tiksha, explain the next two, Shraddha and Samadhanam, in the eighth shloka. Nigamacharya vakyeshu bhakti sraddheti visruta chittaikagryam tu sallakshye. So the next quality of the mind is Shraddha. Shraddha is, we can loosely translate it as faith or belief. But it's something more than that. Like Shraddha is, as per Shankara, what he explains here is Nigama Acharya Vakyeshu Bhakti. Bhakti means devotion, surrender, complete faith in the words of Nigama Acharya. Nigama vakyeshu acharya vakyeshu cha bhakti. So, in the words of Nigama, here means scriptures. Scriptures are split into three basically: Shruti, Smriti, and Puranas. So that's why we say Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Nam Alayam, Karunalayam, Namami Bhagavat Padam, Shankaran, Loka Shankaran. Shruti, Smriti, and Purana. Shruti is the original scriptures which have been like revealed to the rishis, to the munis, at times of like meditation or intensive meditation or samadhi, states of absorption. Smriti is our works, our words of Mahatmas or Jivan Muktas, which bases itself on Shruti. So Smriti is a derivation of Shruti. Bhagavad Gita is a Smriti because Bhagavad Gita has come from Bhagavan Vishnu in the form of Lord Krishna. That means it has come out of the memory or mind of a person, whereas Shruti is the original, which is the Upanishads. Upanishads are Shruti. Gita is a Smriti. There are other Smritis which speak about code of conduct as to how a person should live in the world, amidst all worldly pleasures, but yet focusing on the reality of Brahman, having moksha as the goal, yet not renouncing the world like a sannyasi. So those are smritis. Like few of them are Manusmriti and Yajnavalkya Smriti. Then the third type of works are Puranas. Puranas are works. Shruti and Smriti. Shruti is purely about Brahman, about the truth. Smriti bases itself on Shruti and can be varying or dependent on a particular time period. Bhagavad Gita speaks about only Brahma Jnanam. Manusmriti speaks about code of conduct, but Manu in many places he considers women as lower than men, which was prevalent during his time period, his time frame. So Smritis are dependent or on a particular time frame, having some actions or activities that help in the spiritual path during that time. So both are knowledge based, whereas Puranas are glorification of Ishvara, glorification of the various avatars of Ishvara, not mere glorification, but along with glorification, trying to make people apprehend the truth in the Upanishad. It's like telling that if something is told openly and frankly, people may not understand it. Any action has an equal and opposite reaction. This is Newton's third law. When we learn the Newton's third law, if the teacher just tells us this, we may understand or we may not understand. Majority of the people will not understand. E is equal to mc square. This is a famous equation. If the teacher just gives this equation, then majority of the people will not understand. If we have to understand, we need example, we need analogy, we need in a format that we can understand. Since majority of the people are not intellectually capable to apprehend the Shruti statements, Upanishadic statements, therefore Puranas embed Upanishad statements in the midst of stories which glorify Ishvara and his power. But all the Puranas themselves have for their import ultimate reality of Brahman, even as the Upanishad. Just that they explain it through stories so that one, we can remember, two, we can understand easily than direct intellectual or logical reasoning. If the Shruti, when the Shruti says Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, it would be tough to understand or apprehend. Whereas when the Upanishads say everything that you see is created by Ishvara and everything merges into Ishvara, therefore everything is temporary. Everything is temporary because in all the stories people come, people go, but only Ishvara remains behind. So with that it would be easier for us to understand. So Puranas also explain about the ultimate reality of Brahman, but through stories or glorifications of Ishvara. We can ask that, doesn't Purana speak about things other than Upanishads? Doesn't Purana speak about bhakti? Doesn't Purana speak about various karma through glorification of Ishvara than merely propounding jnanam? We can have that doubt, but if we learn or read any of the Puranas, we will find that the Puranas only speak about the reality of Brahman as in the Upanishads. Bhagavadam at the end, Bhagavadam at the very end, while speaking about Phalashruti or as to what a person would gain from learning Bhagavatam, as well as explaining the essence of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam says, it is Sri Bhagavata Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Jnanam Ekam Param Giyate. Bhagavata Puranam Amalam. This Bhagavata Puranam is Amalam, without any impurity. Yet Vaishnavanam Priyam, which is very close to Vaishnavas. Who are Vaishnavas? Vaishnava Janato Tene Kahiyeje Peed Parai Janere. That is what, like, one of the famous songs, like, which was very close to Mahatma Gandhi. He is called a Vaishnava who understands the trouble or problems or sorrows of other people. We will be able to understand the sorrow of other people only if we know that we are not different from them. So Vaishnava is a person who seeks Vishnu, who seeks the truth in the form of Vishnu. So that is the Vaishnava that is meant there, and not the Vaishnava that we know of the followers of Vishnu, considering Vishnu as great, as Vishnu, Saguna Brahman, as the reality of Brahman, Parabrahman, not Nirgunam. That is not the Vaishnava that is meant. Vishnu is a person who is Vishnum Vyapana Shilam. That is what Shankara says in his Vishnu Sahasranama Bhashyam. Vishnu means a person who is all pervasive, that is, he is called Vishnu. That Vishnu is none other than Brahman. And Vaishnava are people who seek the reality of Brahman, who seek the truth. So, Ed Vaishnavanam Priyam, this Bhagavatam is very dear to Vaishnavas. Why is it very dear to Vaishnavas? What does it speak about to be that it is dear to Vaishnavas? Yasmin Paramahamsyam Jnanam Ekam Param Giyate. In which the Paramahamsa state, the Paramahamsa, the supreme reality which is close to various Mahatmas, Jivan Muktas, which is Ekam Jnanam, which is one or non-dual knowledge, Param Jnanam, supreme knowledge, that is being praised or sang in Bhagavatam. Since the goal of Paramahamsas, which is Ekam Param Jnanam, the supreme consciousness, non-dual consciousness, that is being sung in Bhagavatam, therefore it is very close to Vaishnavas. So this is what Bhagavatam speaks about itself. So if a person says that Purana speak about only bhakti, then such a person is misled and he is completely veiled by his own concepts. When Bhagavatam itself says that it speaks about the jnanam, it speaks about non-dual knowledge, advitiya jnanam or para bhakti, claiming that Bhagavatam speaks about glories, about Ishvara, about bhakti, bhakti is greater than jnanam, is foolishness. So all the Nigama here means Shruti, Smriti, Puranam, and all of those speak about Brahman alone. And Nigamam is termed by Chinmayananda beautifully as indirect source of knowledge. We have two sources of knowledge. One is indirect source, which is Shruti. Shruti has been written by or like memorized and passed on by some Mahatma, some Rishis. So it is experience of Rishis who lived long ago. Whereas the direct knowledge is the Guru, who is a living embodiment of Shruti. If we need to understand Shruti properly, we just need to learn from the Guru's behavior, Guru's lifestyle, Guru's teachings. Guru is a living embodiment of the scriptures. So Guru is direct knowledge because he is living knowledge, whereas Shruti is indirect knowledge. But Nigama Acharyam, those are the two sources of knowledge. All the qualities of mind like Shama, Dhamma, Uparati, Titiksha, even Vivekam and Vairagyam are not essential for us to proceed. If we need to proceed, we need to learn the scriptures. Because the reality of Brahman is Yen et manas, manasa et manasa. I forgot the word. Yato vacho nivartanti, that is one word. Yen et va, I forgot the word. But Lalita Sahasranama says that. So Lalita Sahasranama says about the reality of Brahman as Mano vacha magochara. She who is beyond manas and vak. So that which is beyond words and thoughts cannot be apprehended. So that which is beyond words and thoughts cannot be really apprehended. So the only way we can know Brahman is from the scriptures, from the mirror of scriptures, in which we can see our own face, which cannot be objectified in any way, but can be hinted only through the scriptures. So scriptural learning is inevitable for a spiritual sadhaka. If there is any guru that propounds, he or she propounds that without shastra knowledge, which without knowledge of the scriptures, you can realize, then you can, without any doubt, without even giving a single moment, single second thought, you can completely reject that person as a false guru. Any Mahatma, whether it is Amma or Sri Sri Ravi Shankar or any other Mahatma, any person, if he or she says that without Shastra Jnanam, a person can realize, then you can outright reject such a person. It's good to not follow such a person and fall into the trap, fall in the wrong direction, than follow a right guru. Even if you don't get a right guru, still you are in the place where you are. If you follow a wrong guru, you will be led in the wrong direction, you will fall down. So without Shastra Jnanam, you cannot realize Brahman, you cannot realize your own Swarupam of Brahman, because your Swarupam is beyond apprehend. The only place you can find your Swarupam is in the Shastra. Because Shastra is the mirror in which you can see your own face. Shastra and the Guru through teaching Shastra will be directing you towards yourself, your own inner self. So the greatness of any Guru comes with not his knowledge, but comes with his devotion towards the Shastra. Paramartha beautifully says that when a person, after teaching a person, the Guru teaches a person as to how to interpret the scriptures. And once the Shishya can interpret the scriptures, Guru will tell, okay, now you can learn yourself. At that time, the Guru will also tell, if you find any contradiction between my statement and Shastra's statement, then reject my statement. Don't even think about it. Just reject my statement because Shruti is right. So any person who says, who tries to override Shastra's statement by telling that my words are Shastra, follow my words. If you follow my word, it is like following the Guru. Then you can reject it. Osho used to tell that, follow my words. My words are scriptures. We all know in which state he was and in which state his followers were. Though Amma herself says Osho was good, but the way he went was wrong. So like any guru who is propounding something different from the scriptures and telling, hiding the scriptures from you by telling that I am scriptures, my words are scriptures, you can reject it. Such a guru is not a real guru. So, we have to be careful in finding a right guru. But once we find a right guru, he will lead us in the right way by giving us scriptural knowledge, giving us, Paramatma beautifully says that he will give the key to opening the lock of scriptures. He will tell us as to how to interpret the scriptures. The scriptures have lot of statements. Some are about world creation, some are about Brahman. So we want to know how to interpret it, how to properly interpret it, how to harmonize the various statements. But the guru will teach us. Once the guru teaches us, then you can learn work by yourself. In all the works that are available, you can learn by yourself because you know the code to interpret the book of scriptures. That is what the guru says. And unless you have scriptural knowledge, you will not realize. Though you may have Vivekam, though you may have Vairagyam, though you may have Shama, Dhamma, everything, yet you will not realize without scriptural knowledge. Therefore, Shraddha is very essential. Though other qualities are also essential, but Shraddha is essential. Why? Let's say a person has Vivekam and Vairagyam. That means he wants to know about Brahman. When you want to know something, what would we do? We will try to find out the source where we can learn it. The only source from where we can learn about the Nitya Vastu of Atma or Brahman is the scriptures and the Guru. Therefore, we will be seeking the Guru and the scriptures. That is what. And at times the Guru and Shastra might tell something which is contrary to our experience. For example, Shastra say that Jagat Mithya, Jagat that we experience is an illusion. It is like the dream world. That might seem contrary to our experience, but that is the reality. Initially, we may not be able to apprehend it. Therefore, it is the responsibility of the Shishya to have faith in the Guru. Though the Guru might tell something contrary to our experience, even scold us or other things, yet we should be patient and have faith in the Guru. But we should also make sure that we fall in the hands of the right Guru. Else, we may think that he is like testing our patience. We should have faith, but faith in the wrong person is also wrong, because that won't lead you anywhere. So after finding out the right Guru, Shastras say about two qualities of a Guru: Srotriyam and Brahmanishta. Srotriyam is a person well versed in the scriptures. Each of Amma's examples, Amma's analogies, can be traced back to Panchadashi or any Upanishad or Puranas. So a real Guru is one whose words are not against scriptures, but who is well versed in scriptures to speak about scriptural knowledge, about the scriptures in layman's terminology, and he will be established in Brahman. He will be a Brahmanishta. He will be a person who is established in Brahman. How will I know whether a person is established in Brahman? Such a person will always be blissful. Though Gita speaks about in many places about such a person as being beyond Kama, Krodha, dual notions and all, but at times we will not even be able to judge people. So a real Guru is one who gives you bliss. So, abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. That is what Krishna says. Around a person, a knower of Atman, a knower of Brahman, bliss will be dancing. Whoever goes near such a Mahatma, he will be able to get bliss. He will be able to become blissful. That bliss will stay for some time, even after he comes away from the Mahatma. So that way a person has to identify the right Guru and then have faith in the Guru and the scriptures words, because that alone will help him in the spiritual path. And then the next quality that Shankara speaks about is Samadhanam. So till now he said like controlling of the mind, then like having patience and having faith in Guru's words. All these are not of much use unless we put it into practice. What should we put into practice? The फोकस ऑफ द माइंड और मेडिटेशन और अनुसंधानम इज एसेंशियल. दो द माइंड वुड बी डिवॉइड ऑफ थॉट्स वी नीड टू फोकस द माइंड ऑन नित्य वस्तु ऑन द नित्यम आत्मस्वरूपम भी. सो ऑन द नित्य वस्तु टू विच वी हैव परावैराग्यम और अटैचमेंट वी हैव टू फोकस द माइंड. वंस वी कंट्रोल द माइंड इनर माइंड एंड द एक्सटर्नल सेंस ऑर्गन्स and then withdraw the sense organs, have faith in Shastra, then the Guru would say, focus on the reality. So, Chitta Ekagriyam tu Sal Lakshye, Sat Lakshye, in the real goal, in the ultimate goal of Brahman, of Nitya Atma, we have to have Chitta Ekagriyam, focus of the Chittam, focus of the mind, concentration of the mind, which is called, termed as Samadhanam. Samadhanam iti smritam. It is termed, it is known, it is memorized, famous as Samadhanam or tranquility. Tranquility of the mind arises when the mind focuses on the real goal of Brahman. So that is the last quality of the mind. That's the last quality of the mind, which is Samadhanam. Yeah, so in the next shloka, Shankara deals with the last sadhana chatushtayam of mumukshutvam. So mumukshutvam is like, the word meaning is desire for liberation. Chirmiyananda beautifully terms it as burning desire for liberation. So Shankara goes like this. Samsara bandha nirmuktihi katam me syat katha vide. इति या सुदृढ़ा बुद्धिः वक्तव्या सा मुमुक्षुता. सो मुमुक्षुत्वम् मुमुक्षुत्वम् इज द क्वालिटी ऑफ लाइक हैविंग द डिजायर फॉर लिबरेशन स्ट्रांग डिजायर फॉर लिबरेशन. मोक्तुम् इच्छा मुमुक्षुता. सो मुमुक्षुता मीन्स हैविंग द डिजायर फॉर मोक्ष. And a person who has mukshuta or mukshutvam, he is called a mumukshu. Mumukshu is ideally a sadhaka who seeks liberation. So, samsara bandha nirmuktihi katam me syat. Samsara bandha nirmuktihi, liberation from the bondages of samsara, from samsara bandham, katam me syat, how can it happen? How will I get liberation from the bondage of samsara? And kata vide, in what way, in what all way can I get? Iti ya sudrida buddhihi vaktavya. Like such a strong conviction, such a strong thought in the mind, in the intellect of a person. If that is there, such a person is called a mukshu. And such an attitude of the mind is called mumukshuta, sa mumukshuta. That buddhi, that thought in the buddhi, that not mere thought, sudrida buddhi. Dridam means strong like Meru Parvatam. Sudrida means really strong. So that strong conviction in the intellect that how will I get liberated from the bondage of samsara? And what is the way out of this? That means this real desire, earnest desire that I want liberation. So in one of his Shankara works, Shankara says, other works, Shankara says that this very moment let me get liberation. How will I get liberation? Such a desire is what is called as mumukshutvam or burning desire for liberation. So, mumukshutvam is the desire for liberation. Till now, Shankara spoke about the other sadhana chatushtayam of Viveka, Vairagya and Samadhi, Shatka, Sampatti. All those are invalid without the desire for liberation. It is desire for liberation that propels a person to follow the spiritual path. Any action, whether it's worldly or religious or spiritual, is propelled by a desire for something. We work in office daily. The action of work is propelled by the desire to earn money. We chant Lalita Sahasranama daily. That chanting has the desire to be peaceful the entire day. We do meditation. The action of meditation is propelled by the desire for peace, desire for bliss. So, any action has to be propelled by a desire. Desire for the goal which is achieved of the phalam or the fruit which is achieved through the particular action. But, so like if a person has to follow Viveka Vairagyam and finally learn Jnanam, get Jnanam, then he should have a desire. He should have a goal which is achieved through Jnanam. That goal is what is called as Mukti or Moksha. Moksha means liberation. So liberation from what? Samsara Bandha Nirmukti. Mukti from Samsara Bandham. From the bondages of Samsara. So that desire, the desire for liberation from the bondage of samsara is what propels a person to go in the spiritual path. And so liberation from bondages of samsara. What is samsara? What is the bondage of samsara? Shankara beautifully terms samsara as avidya kama karma. Ignorance, which in turn causes desire, which in turn propels actions. Ignorance. We are all by nature Nitya Mukta Nitya Nitya Buddha Mukta Swabhavoham. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swabhavoham. I am the eternal, blissful, ever pure self. So everybody is the self, yet we don't know our nature of self. We don't experience our own nature of bliss. That is what is called as ajnanam or ignorance. This ignorance of our blissful nature, our peaceful nature, our unlimited and perfect nature causes us to desire bliss, desire peace, desire perfection, desire unlimited state. So ignorance propels desire. Desire is only at the mental level. If a desire has to be fulfilled, it has to be converted into action. Therefore, that propels action. We do action, we seeking some fulfillment of a desire. That desire propels another desire. This goes on until we desire moksha. So, liberation from the bondage of samsara is liberation from avidya, kama, karma. That means liberation from the cause of kama and karma, which is avidya. Avidya can be removed only by knowledge, even as darkness can be removed only by light. So avidya has to be removed by jnanam. So we can say this jnanam, gaining jnanam, which in turn makes us liberated from bondage of samsara, that is propelled only by desire for liberation, mumukshutvam or mumukshuta. That means we have a desire. So doesn't that desire propel other desires? And therefore we can't come out of ignorance? No, because this desire is the only desire which will help us gain knowledge and thereby remove ignorance. Ramana Maharshi gives a beautiful example following the scriptures about the spiritual path. In spiritual path, what happens? We are ignorant in the world, and then in the ignorant world, in our ignorant state, a guru comes and tells us, you are the self. The guru is as illusory as the world, because only Brahman is real. But still the illusory guru makes us realize. How can the illusory guru liberate us? Yes, how? We are sleeping, and when we are sleeping, we dream that we dream and go into a dream world. It goes on and on. Finally, what happens is a lion jumps in front of us. Seeing the lion, we become terrified and get up from dream. So there was not a real lion. The lion which woke us is not a real lion, it's not a waking lion, but it is a lion in our dream. Even as a lion in our dream, which is as illusory as the dream world, makes us get up from the dream world, come out of the dream world. Similarly, the guru and the desire for liberation, though it is a desire, it helps us come out of all other desires. Why? Because this desire makes us get knowledge. That knowledge negates ignorance and thereby makes us realized. So without the desire for knowledge, without desire for liberation from the bondage of samsara, which is avidya kama karma, we cannot proceed in the spiritual path. Unless we have this desire, we won't get knowledge. Unless we get knowledge, we will not be liberated. Unless we are liberated, we will still be in samsara bandham. Okay, let me be in samsara bandham. What is the fault with that? The fault is that samsaram is anityam asukam lokam. The lokam is not anityam. Samsaram is not anityam alone, but it is asukam. It will cause problem or sorrow in the long run. Though a person, due to his previous good karma, might be enjoying things now, and then he may feel that I am blissful now, I am happy in the world, like a pig which is happy with its filthy nature, its filthy environment. But there will be a time when our good karmas will get exhausted, and then we will have to gain asukkam. We will have to experience sorrow and suffering. At that time we will start running and crying that, oh Ishvara, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong that you are making me suffer? The real suffering, the suffering is caused not by Ishvara. It's not given by Ishvara, but it is due to our own karma. Why did our karma give suffering? Our karma gave suffering because we had kama. Why did we have kama? We had kama because we have avidya. So ajnanam is the cause of all suffering, because ajnanam is samsara bandham. If we have to get rid of suffering completely and experience unlimited and eternal bliss, then we have to get out of samsara bandham by knowledge. If we have to get knowledge, we will have to have sadhana chatushtayam. If we have to have sadhana chatushtayam, we need to have desire for liberation. Mumukshutvam is essential and inevitable for a sadhaka. So that's why, so Shankara ends this sadhana chatushtayam section by explaining all the four. So mumukshutvam is liberation from samsara bandham. So recapping, sadhana chatushtayam is essential for a seeker to apprehend knowledge, so that once he apprehends knowledge, he will be once he gets knowledge from the guru, he will be able to apprehend it completely. Apprehension means experience of the self through scriptural path of Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. If a person doesn't have Vivekam, then though he may do more and more Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, he will still be distracted. In such a case, he will not be benefited out of Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. Therefore, Sadhana Chatushtayam is essential not for gaining knowledge, but for making the knowledge that we gain fruitful. Fruitful in liberating us from the bondage of samsara. Fruitful in making us liberated. So the Sadhana Chatushtayam is four. First is Vivekam. Vivekam is knowing what is real and what is real. Real is only the Atman or Brahman. Everything else is unreal. Once we have Vivekam, then Vairagyam. Apara Vairagyam is dispassion towards world, because we know that the world is unreal. And Para Vairagyam is passion towards Brahman, because we know that Brahman alone is real and can give us bliss. Then the next is Shamarishatka Sampatti. Shama is control of the mind. Dhamma is control of the sense organs. Then we have Uparati, which is withdrawal of the sense organs so that we can focus it on Brahman. Then Titiksha is endurance, or like forbearing the tough situation that we encounter in the spiritual path. Then we need to have Shraddha or faith in the words of Guru and Shastra so that we can follow it beyond doubt. Then we have to completely focus on our mind on the real goal of Brahman, which is Samadhanam. And then the last Sadhana Chatushtayam is Mumukshutvam, or burning desire for liberation, that I have to get desire. Only with such a Tivra Mumukshutvam we will be able to get liberation in this very birth. If we say that Okay, I want moksha, but I don't want it now. I have things to do in the world. I have to marry, I have to beget children, I have to look after my parents. Once everything is over, then at the end of my life, I'll seek moksha. I'll seek moksha through jnanam. Then you will get only moksham in the kalpantaram, in the end of this kalpa, or in next few births. Because only Tivra Mumukshutvam, when a person has a desire that let me be liberated this very moment, he'll be liberated this very moment. If a person says I want liberation but I'll do few actions and then get liberated, such a person will get liberation in the next birth only, because he is still not having Mumukshutvam or Moksha as the primary goal. And if a person says I want Mumukshutvam but not now, let me do everything and finally if we don't have anything I'll do Moksha, then such a person will get only at the Kalpantaram. And there is the worst case of Mumukshutvam, in which people say I don't want Moksha but when I am walking, if it falls from heaven, I'll take it. Such a people will not get liberation at all. So Tivra Mumukshutvam, Madhyama Mumukshutvam, Manda Mumukshutvam and Adhimanda Mumukshutvam, those are the four types we can say. That you don't need to remember that, because that is some, in few places Acharyas mention it, but that's not important. The important thing is we need to have Tivra Mumukshutvam. Tivra Mumukshutvam means I need moksha now. Such a person who says I want moksha this very moment, such a person alone will get liberated in this birth. Remember that. If you have such a desire, if you set aside your parents, your husband, your wife, your children, all those things for moksha, then you will get liberation in this birth. If you don't do it that way, then you will get liberation only later. It's up to a person to find out as to how strong he is in Mumukshutvam as well as Sadhana Chatushtayam, so that he will gain knowledge this birth itself. Not only gain knowledge, but he will make use of the knowledge by implementing it in life and realizing Brahman. So Shankara with this shloka, with the ninth shloka, has ended the Sadhana Chatushtayam, or the prerequisites for knowledge to become fruitful in a sadhaka's life. So Shankara, after explaining the Sadhana Chatushtayam, next says one of the prerequisite for jnanam, or as to how a person should gain jnanam. So that is what he says in the next shloka. How can, let's say I have Sadhana Chatushtayam, but then how will I get knowledge? So Shankara says, knowledge, a person who has the other, like Sadhana Chatushtayam, the prerequisites for knowledge, should do vicharam, should do reflection. So should do vicharam in order to gain knowledge. Vicharam, like Shankara would explain later, that vicharam is in the form of questioning, putting forth question to the guru. So the Shastras say, not Shastras, like Gita in specific says that in the sarvam karma akilam partha jnane parisamapyate. So Krishna says in the fourth chapter that all actions end in jnanam, end in knowledge. After telling that, Krishna says tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadeshyanti te jnanam jnaninat tattva darshinah. All actions end in knowledge, but then how will I get knowledge? Tadviddhi, in order to gain knowledge, pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Seek a guru. Three activities that the Shastras say, which Krishna says here. Pranipatena, offering oneself at his feet, surrendering to the guru. Then pariprashnena, put forth lot of questions to him. Sevaya, and do service to the guru. Questioning part is very important, because unless you question, the guru will not speak. Unless you question, the guru will not reply back with right answers. Even questioning is very important, that you should question, ask the right question. if you ask about how the world came, how the world was created, and like whether the world is real and all, then you will be distracted. So you should always start with Brahman, and with your focus on Brahman, on Nitya Atma, you can concentrate on the world. Because as long as you are focusing on Brahman, you will know that Brahman alone is real. Everything else is unreal. Therefore, when you question about the world, as what is creation, how was this world created, then you will get an answer that the world is an illusion. It is seemingly created, whereas not really created. So, jnanam can be gained only by questioning. That questioning is in the form of reflection. That is what, unless you reflect in your mind as to what all questions to put, you will not be able to put the right questions to the Mahaguru. Therefore, Shankara says in the 10th shloka that a person who has the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, sadhana chatushtayam, he should do vicharam in order to gain knowledge. So what is, so that's what Shankara says in the next shloka. Ukta sadhana yuktena vichara purushenahi kartavyo jnana siddhyartam atmana shubhamichyatha. Ukta sadhana yuktena, with whatever has the sadhanas have been explained previously, the qualities that has been explained previously, which is sadhana chatushtayam, the four, viveka, vairagya, samadhi, shatka sampatti and mumukshutvam, vicharaha purushena hi kartavyo, the kartavyam of a person, kartavyam of a purusha, of an individual, of a seeker, is vicharaha, is reflection. Why should he reflect? Jnana siddhyartam, in order to gain knowledge. That means jnanam can be gained only by vicharam, by reflecting on one's own nature, by reflecting on the nitya vastu of Brahman and reflecting on the anitya vastu of Jagat. Once we reflect, we will get lot of doubt. When we get doubt, we will ask those doubts to the Guru, and since we have sadhana chatushtayam, therefore the Guru will explain us in the proper way. And when the Guru explains that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha, we will instantly understand it. And when we understand it, then we will get realization. So vicharam is essential for jnanam. And vicharaha jnana siddhyartam, vicharam has to be done in order to gain knowledge, as well as atmanaha shubhamichyata, for one's own welfare, one's own benefit. Atmanaha here, atma means oneself, not the atman of the self, but one's own good. Why one's own good? Because only when you do vicharam, you will get gain knowledge. Only when you gain knowledge, you will get bliss. Only when you get bliss, that is good, really good for you. Therefore, good if a person, since a person in order to gain knowledge as well as seeking his own good, should do vicharam. So Shankara says in a similar way in Viveka Chudamani that chittasya shuddhaye karma natu vastu upalabdhaye vastu siddhir vicharena nakinchit karma koti bhi. Chittasya shuddhaye karma, all actions are for purifying the mind. Natu vastu upalabdhaye, it is not for gaining knowledge of vastu, of the real entity of Brahman. Vastu siddhihi, knowledge of Brahman, knowing of Brahman will happen vicharena, will happen through vicharam or reflection, through proper questioning about oneself and the world to the Guru. Na kinchit karma kodibihi, not by thousands of karma. So jnanam or moksha will happen only by vicharam. So the first thing what a person should do is have swavarna ashrama dharma, tapas and haritoshanat, all the three, and then gain sadhana chatushtayam. After sadhana chatushtayam, he should do vicharam. When he does vicharam, he should gain knowledge from the Guru, from knowledge he will implement it in the form of Shravanamanajidhyasanam and thereby get realization or get liberation or become liberated. So a person can ask, like, what is the use of vicharam? Why vicharam is essential for knowledge? Vicharaha jnana siddhyartham. In order to gain knowledge, a person should do vicharam. What is the relationship between vicharam and jnanam? Why should we do vicharam for jnanam? So Shankara gives an analogy example to prove that in the 11th shloka. Notpadyate vina jnanam vicharenanya sadhanaihi yatha padarthabhanam hi prakashena vina kvachit. Na utpadyate jnanam vina jnanam, jnanam vina vicharena anya sadhanaihi. So na utpadyate jnanam, jnanam will not be cultivated, developed or got or achieved. Utpadyate will not be achieved, got. Vicharena vina, without vicharam. So na utpadyate jnanam, jnanam will not be achieved. Vicharena vina, not without vicharam. Anya sadhanaihi, by any other means other than vicharam. So vicharena vina anya sadhanaihi na utpadyate jnanam. Jnanam cannot be attained or achieved by any other means other than vicharam. Even as yata padartha bhanam hi, padartha bhanam. Bhanam means illumining, illumination or knowing of padartham, of entities, of objects in the world. Objects cannot be perceived or can be known as existing. Prakashena vina hi kvachit. Without prakashena vina, without light, without prakasham, kvachit, not by any other means. So even as without prakasham, without illumination or illumining, we cannot know entities, we cannot perceive entities. Similarly, jnanam cannot be gained without the illumining of vicharam. Vicharam drives the thought so that we will be forced to get knowledge. Vicharam is in the form of, as he said, vicharam is in the form of questioning. Vicharam in the form of questioning means we have doubts in our mind, we cultivate doubts. The nature of the mind is that when it gets doubt, it would want answer. It would be restless without getting answer for the doubt. So when a person does vicharam, it arises doubt regarding oneself, regarding the Nitya Vastu of Brahman, regarding the Nityam world, and it would want to know as to how Brahman is real, how the world is unreal. And these doubts will make the mind so restless that jnanam will have to be gained from the guru. So vicharam will make a person desire to seek the guru and gain knowledge. Therefore, vicharam, without vicharam jnanam is impossible. Even as without light, perceiving of objects is impossible. So a person, after gaining the sadhana chatushtayam, should do vicharam in or reflection in order to gain knowledge and realize one's own nature of Brahman. And as to what is vicharam, Shankara explains this beautifully in few shlokas. Till the 16th shloka. So starting from the 12th shloka till the 16th shloka, Shankara speaks about as to what is vicharam, what is enquiry, what is the real enquiry that a person has to do. We'll see that in the next day.